Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. That's back. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm good. We're both a bit tired because I did a task today that I had no idea. Even when I was doing it, I was just like, oh, I'm just doing this thing. But it's actually very mentally and physically draining. And after I did it, I was like, I'm exhausted. I sold my car, folks. Yeah.
Yeah, big day.
Big day. I didn't realise. Well, I did realise. I just didn't emotionally realise how much me and that car have been through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long have you had the car for?
I've had it for... Yeah, that shocked me as well when they put it up. Because I just went to a place that takes any car, no questions asked. They say, we'll give you 1,600 quid for that car. And then they go, oh, there's a scratch there. Like, oh, well, that's probably a couple of quid off. 500 quid off.
Bloody hell.
I know. And by the time you're there, I'm like, just take it, man. Jesus. But yeah, I've had 2014. I got it 2014 for my 25th birthday,
wow.
Which was
10 years ago.
I said 2014, so 5 years old, and it wasn't like a birthday present. It was a birthday loan that I had to pay back.
Okay,
because Ollie was unemployed. Ollie lost his job 6 months beforehand. Ollie was floundering, and I got a job freelancing across the world.
Wow.
It was a two-hour trip that was even longer by public transport. So I had to get a car. But I hadn't driven a car for about 7 years. So my dad, an absolute hero, helped me find this car. We got the car. And then because I was so nervous, I had to drive through London, through King's Cross, like all these really busy parts, then go out into the countryside and weave through loads of tiny, ridiculously hilly country lanes. Those are the worst two kinds of driving.
Yeah, not fun.
For 2 hours, you do a 12-hour night shift and then a two-hour drive back home. That was my life back then. But I was so scared about driving again and stalling. My dad, get this, would do his day at work, finish early, come to my house in Wood Green in North London back then, and drive in front of me from 5 p.m., to 7 p.m. to get to my night shift. He would then sleep in his car. And I'd say, Dad, please, just get, like, there's a hotel there. I'll pay for you. And he was like, nope, I'm sleeping in the car. And he would sleep in the car and then he'd wake up and he'd drive in front of me on the way home. And we'd get back to mine. He would shave at my house, much to the confusion of my housemates, and then go to work. And he did that for a week until I was confident enough to drive by myself.
Mate.
So that car, like without that job, I wouldn't have been able to sort of start working on, because that gave, it was, you know, I could work really like high paid for a week and then take a few weeks off to do WrestleTalk stuff. And that's how we built up WrestleTalk, really. And then this car would help me get to the old Dagenham studio.
Old Dag Studios.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have been able to really get there as much if I didn't have that. So yeah, but now since we moved to the new studio, I can ride here on my bike in 25 minutes. It takes 40 minutes in the car because of just how congested the roads are. So when I handed over the keys, it was like, got a little pang.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Yeah, I said, it's called Pingu. Take good care of it. And I asked him, do people get emotional when they hand over your cars? And he said, yeah. Like, most guys are just like, yeah, there you go. Can I have more money? But he said about 40% of women start bawling.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Anecdotally, evidence there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, it's...
Do you feel like that was a slight against you because you were getting so emotional about it?
I don't know.
I mean, blokes, when they're handed over, nothing else. Girls on the other end.
Yeah.
Pansy girls on the other end. Cry at the drop of a hat, mate.
I did say, I'll probably cry when I get out. When I walk home. But yeah, so that's... yeah, the car's come. He served me well.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about the spark joy moment I had this morning?
You did not.
Because Anna, my lady partner, was also very sad to see the
she's
car part
go. Of the 40%.
Yeah. She is. Because she came downstairs this morning to the car park to say, to effectively do a Marie Kondo thank you. Because I was her first boyfriend that had a car would drive her around places. So she's got probably more of an emotional attachment to it than me, because she sees that car, she thinks Ollie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I did a little like jokey, thank you, Spark Joy car, for all the stuff you've done for us. It's like a dog. I've never had a dog.
No.
But I imagine it's exactly the same as losing a dog. And I turn around, Anna is bawling. She's going to hate me saying this. She was crying so hard.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, you poor thing. Yeah. So,
oh, that's sad.
So, yeah. It's weird how we can get attached to physical objects.
Yeah, absolutely.
When was the last time you got really attached to a physical object?
Do you know what? I don't know is the honest answer. But I think the closest thing I can think of is that I had a lot of retro game consoles. I'd built up a bit of a collection. I had like a Master System, a Mega Drive, an N64, a SNES, and NES. I had a good, like, big, strong collection of these consoles that were from like the late 80s through to the 90s, all the way through to Dreamcast. I was very, very proud of them. I had a good, like, selection of games for them and everything. I used to have them out on display, and I was very, very proud of my collection. Not huge, not by any stretch of the imagination. There are people with much more impressive collections, but I was very proud of the small collection that I had. And then I had to put a lot of into a storage, which I was very, you know, I was kind of sad about, because I liked having them there. I liked having the option of just getting them out. I now don't know where they are.
Mm.
So there are two theories. Either they have just been lost within the transport of taking them from a house that I was living in, or moving into my parents' storage, or moving into my parents' house. And they've just been lost along the way before I've moved into this house. Because, like, me moving out of with my friends to me moving into my house was like a 5-7 year journey. So it was like a long time for stuff to be just sort of stuck in storage. It's why when I got all my DVDs out, it was very easy for me to get rid of them. I was like, well, I haven't had them for 7 years.
Mm.
And I clearly don't miss them. So I can easily get rid of these.
No spark joy.
No, they did not spark joy.
Spark indifference.
But my consoles did, and I don't know where they are. And I do have a theory that my previous housemates sold them.
Oh.
Because I did keep them there when I moved back into my parents' house. I asked if we could use the spare room to store some of my stuff, because there wasn't enough room in my parents' house or in their storage to keep all my boxes. And I think that my housemate might have sold them without me knowing.
Whoa, what sort of person sells someone else's possessions?
Well, he wasn't a very nice person.
That is bad place.
So I think that's what's happened to them. So that I do get, like, I think about it every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got no proof that he's done it. Like, there's absolutely no evidence, because I didn't check the boxes when I finally took them out, so I've got no evidence to go one way or the other. All I know is I had them in that house, I don't have them anymore, and they've been lost along the way. There's some other stuff as well.
Case closed, Judge.
Exactly. So that, I would say, is the one that, like, that pangs some emotion to me, because I do think about that collection sometimes and how I don't have it anymore. I had like a 2-TV setup for it as well, because my older 90s consoles looked a bit rubbish on my big TV. So I had like an old CRT TV for just those consoles to plug my NES into.
The ones that are deeper than they are wide.
Exactly. Do you want this quick email before we crack on into
sure.
the show? This is a follow-up email to the irrational fear we had from Richard, who was talking about his irrational fear of bodies of water.
Yes.
And you asked about baths.
Yeah, baths. Like, how big does water have to be to be a body?
It says, hi Luke, Ollie and Laurie. For clarification of my fear of water, I can't do tubs or anything bigger without getting great anxiety.
Whoa.
I have to stay clean with just showers. I'm trying to get over this fear, but it is a challenge. That's from Rick.
Maybe that is similar to what the girl at uni had then.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
I also got a tweet in as well. I'm apologising because I can't remember who it was, and unfortunately I've lost the tweet, who suggested, because we were trying to think of movies with bodies of water where the water was like actual
Abyss.
Yeah, and he came up with Moana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a very good shout. Would you like another irrational fear before we get into the show? And then when we get back, apparently the alarm clock debate is our new... It's our new civil war drove. This one comes in from Aaron saying, sorry, but I took the smallest of anecdotes from the Saturday show and decided to send in my irrational fear. It's snakes. Although that doesn't seem irrational at first, what makes it irrational is that I'm terrified, borderline petrified of all snakes. I'll almost pass out seeing a measly garden snake. So sorry for wasting your time. Keep up the consistent work and getting me through my workday every day. Greetings from Cleveland, Ohio, stateside.
What about trouser snakes?
So yeah, we need a follow-up email.
You got to clarify that. What about Justin Trouser Snake?
All right, going to crack into the show now. I do want to point out for the show, though, because I pointed this out on the podcast interviews that we did as well. If you are looking to avoid spoilers for Super Strong Style 16, there we do talk about the results of the tournament in the mailbag portion of this show. So spoiler warning is out there just in case. But anyway, we're going to be talking about, before that, the AEW versus WWE war heating up. Here's the show.
Well, we have your crap gimmicks, your mailbag questions coming up, but first we're kicking off with not just one of the biggest discussion and overall stories of the year, but potentially of the wrestling industry for the last two decades.
Certainly the last two decades. We have not had a proper, I'm going to use proper in air quotes there, wrestling war since WCW was purchased.
Through January 4th, 2010.
I did
too, my friend,
but I would hardly call that a proper war because I'm destroying the desk.
What are you doing to the desk?
Sorry, I don't know where Simon left this seat in such a state that it was making me destroy the desk as I was trying to get comfortable in it.
Housemate Simon.
Anyway, so yeah, this is a huge, huge deal. This is AEW next week. Next week we should hear May 15th. At 3 p.m. UK time, because it's 10 a.m. Eastern, the upfronts are going to be taking place, the media upfronts with Turner Broadcasting.
So this is one of those things that everyone started talking about. I've started reading upfronts this, upfronts that. I've never heard of upfronts before.
I have heard of upfronts before, because it's where you find out what new shows are going to be.
So this is where they say, we tried out these shows last year and we're picking up these things for a new season.
It's for advertisers. Advertising companies who want to advertise with Turner will go to this event and Turner will say, here are the shows we've got coming up this year. And then they will essentially just go around and start to shop around with the advertiser and be like, do you want to attach your product to this brand? Do you want to work out a sponsorship deal? Do you want to have advertising slots when this show is on the air?
So it's a really corporate Comic-Con.
Oh, a proper corporate Comic-Con. A previous job of mine was making apps for events like this. So
I've used one like that.
So I'm au fait with this sort of thing.
And so this is the same thing, all the big TV networks are having them next week.
This cup is very unwieldy.
Yeah, that's loose. So you've got, because I read that Fox are going to have John Cena, and that maybe not Cena, but the Bella Twins.
Yes, because everyone's in the European tour.
And Becky, and even Ronda is going to be at these events.
It's the way that WWE is I guess we're going to have to send these people to the, we can't send, the actual people who are going to be on the show. We'll send John Cena, massive movie star John Cena, the Bella Twins and their quite successful reality TV show, and Ronda Rousey, four people who will not be featured on the show when it comes to October.
So out of character for WWE as well, to promise you one thing and not deliver on it.
Yeah. So this is the media upfront, and Turner are going to be presenting, at least according to the rap, that AEW is going to be launching in October, either on a Tuesday or Wednesday, is what Dave Meltzer is speculating, but it's likely going to be between 8 and 10 p.m. So it's a prime time position, on either a Tuesday or Wednesday in October. Could be on TNT, could be on TBS.
It's got to be Tuesday.
Tuesday night
Dynamite is one of the trademarks that AEW issued last year. It's such a good name.
And it works out quite nicely because SmackDown is moving off Tuesday nights in October when it moves to Fridays, which you and I still have not worked out what's going to happen.
Well, AEW will hopefully not just save the wrestling industry, but our social lives too. Okay. Meaning we'll just switch SmackDown out for AEW.
Lovely stuff.
The SmackDown Wednesday show will become the AEW review, yeah. And we'll cover SmackDown's fallout on Monday.
Monday, yeah.
Yeah, or maybe Pete will just work on Saturdays. I haven't thought it out yet.
Well, this is funny because it was, what, last year, middle of last year, that they announced that they were going to be moving to Fox on a Friday night, and I text you being like, they're moving to Friday nights, what are we going to do? That's all right, it's still a little while away. Yeah, we've still got time to work it out. Have not had one discussion.
Let's kick that into the long grass for as long as we possibly can. But yeah, this is one side of this war. And really, if you're WWE, you want to start this war in a very strategically strong position. And I guess they kind of are in terms of deals that are already in place. Fox have already committed $1 billion over 5 years for SmackDown to move to them from October.
That's a lot of money.
And that ends in 2024. That's a long time to be safe. I think the USA deal is 3 years, which is also for a lot of money to keep Raw. So their foreseeable future domestically in the US is very safe. Apparently they've got a very big India deal around the corner as well. But you've got the viewership has suffered historic lows for both shows, like SmackDown since the brand split and Raw for the entire history of that program. Both of them, record low ratings. So you're now going into this battle with AEW, potentially in October, where you're not going in there with a consistent 3 million or even 2.5 million viewers on average. You're going down there with something closer to 2 million, which is so much easier to beat.
Yeah, and it's so funny. We didn't mention this at our live show, but we were talking about the David Arquette title win on Thunder. That drew a 2.5 rating, which at the time was seen as an absolute disaster.
Catastrophic.
And it was catastrophically low. And that now, a 2.5 rating, would actually seem like that's quite a win. That's a big jump.
Well, that 2.5... isn't 2.5 million either. 2.5 rating is the percentage share of all the people watching. So a 2.5 rating then was probably like 3.5 million.
Yeah.
And that's what Raw was getting consistently 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we keep getting bogged down in the numbers, but I personally find them fascinating.
Also, it's what TV networks look for. Like, TV networks want ratings. That's why they're TV networks. Mm. If you don't have TV ratings, then you can't get advertisers to jump on your shows. Therefore, you don't make any money. And it's a business.
Yeah.
So while to a wrestling fan, the numbers and the ratings might not seem that interesting, to this sort of granular business side of things, they're very, very key and very, very vital. Even in 2019, where there are streaming services, there's catch-up on demand, there's YouTube and things like that, TV audiences numbers are still very, very important.
Mm. And they're the best. TV is still the best way to reach a wide audience, because the way streaming services and algorithms work is that they send you further and further down your niche rabbit hole. So you're not as likely to be introduced to something new online. You're more likely to like the stuff you already like more.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas TV, because someone's sitting like scheduled out a schedule, and going, watch this now, watch this. And you're like, huh, yeah, I'll just stick around and see what's on at 7.
Yeah.
Oh, I quite like Farscape. Huh, Farscape is now one of my favourite shows of all time.
Yes.
That's
your childhood in a nutshell. That's how I found Buffy. So I think it is a very, very exciting time to be a wrestling fan. Really, really exciting. I was actually, so we on Friday posted up on the Wrestle Ramble podcast feed a series of interviews that we conducted over the Progress Super Strong Style 16 weekend. We spoke to the likes of Jordan Grace and Walter and Trent Seven, Jimmy Havoc and Darby Allin, and Mark and Vicky Haskins. And you're like, okay, that's Impact's Jordan Grace. That's NXT UK's Walter and Trent Seven. That's Ring of Honor's Mark and Vicky Haskins. And it's AEW's Jimmy Havoc and Darby Allin. And it's fascinating to listen to that, because each of those interviews talks about those businesses and the relationship between those businesses and what going to AEW means and what going to WWE means, what sticking with Impact means. David Starr, what staying on the independent scene means to him. And I'm listening to this, I'm like, what a fascinating time to be a wrestling fan. Mm. What's so, so interesting.
It must be, like, I'm really curious to see how it all transpires. And if we really do get, like, because we were kids in the 90s. And even if you were as sort of smart fan in the 90s, you wouldn't have had like the sort of online forum.
There were no podcasts.
Yeah.
There was no Twitter.
And the Observer newsletter was still very much a sort
printed.
Of niche. Yeah. It was a physical copy you got through the post.
I think it was physical until about 2005.
Yeah. Dave probably still thinks it is.
And he actually does still do printed versions of it.
Yeah, yeah. They have the adverts.
Because he has subscribers that don't want to read it online and they want to have their physical copies
that
of it.
That makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. But the...
He's been doing it since the 70s.
So they always... I mean, I've always wondered what it would be like to live through... This is one of my geeky things that I like to imagine. Live through Victorian Britain in the Industrial Revolution and just see these communities go from, yeah, we farm a lot, to all the industry. Chuck a kid in that machine.
Well, another way to look at this as well is that you and I do not have any children.
Mm-hmm.
But when we do have children, then we will be able to say, like, I went to go see Endgame at the cinema.
Yeah.
I was there to see Endgame at the cinema. And like that, it seems such like trivial stuff now because it's still in cinemas. But in 10 years' time, that's going to feel like a really big deal that you were there to get, like on opening day, you were there to see the biggest movie of all time.
It's going to, yeah, it's like I was there to see Star Wars the first day. It's a similar thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, now I didn't finish my thing.
Oh, I do apologize.
And now it just sounds like out of context. Chuck a kid in a machine. Why is Ollie talking about the Industrial Revolution?
That's what you wanted to see, was see the kids thrown into the machines.
No, but now, like, yeah, it's like we can experience the Monday Night Wars, not to that full extent, but all the sort of political warfare and company fighting. We can live through that and enjoy it. It's just very exciting from a salacious backstage. Imagine all the stories. All the stories that have already happened. Dean Ambrose just was like, nah, I'm done, mate.
Luke Harper requesting to leave and him being essentially sort of screwed by the company, being like, ah, you were injured for six months last year, so we're adding those 6 months. You see in The Observer what Meltzer said about this. Harper again approached Vince McMahon to ask for his release and being like, look, if you're not going to book me, why are you keeping me around? Vince just said, go to talk to Triple H about it. And Triple H won't return his calls. And so he's essentially stuck there. And they've just said, like, he's got no more bookings. He's not going to be used. He's essentially stuck there until April 2020.
God, and even, I don't know how the contracts work. Can they just freeze that? Because they're not using them?
They did with Rey Mysterio and they did with Pac for a while.
Yeah.
You got Sasha Banks in a similar situation where reportedly she wants out. I think PW Insider said, it's money in the bank is it. Like, that is the deadline. If she's not on the European tour. She was advertised for it. She was also advertised to do a commercial shoot for WWE 2K20 and apparently hasn't filmed that yet. So,
yeah, it's fun.
A lot of salacious stuff going on.
But while WWE have these domestic deals very strongly in place, I didn't know this until I read this week's newsletter. WWE's biggest secondary market for pay-per-views,
or second biggest, some might say.
Yeah. Second biggest market.
Biggest
second market. For pay-per-views, at least. Maybe not for television. Is the UK.
Yay!
And I think I knew this, but I never really appreciated it. Because when I hear the US, I just also assume Canada's part of that. So I just thought, Canada, like, if you were to separate those out, Canada would be the next biggest buyer of pay-per-views.
I would have assumed Canada was much bigger.
Incorrect. Canada is behind the UK traditionally overall for pay-per-view buys, which is insane because over here they start at midnight or 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Granted, they're much cheaper. They're like 15 quid as opposed to...
$60.
Yeah, so $25 as opposed to $60. But yeah, so WWE's Sky deal, which is the network that broadcasts it over in the UK, is running out this year. And, you know, there are a lot of issues stemming back to the launch of the network when Sky had a deal for all of the pay-per-views to air. Some would be in their pay-per-view service. Others would be not free to air, but at least on their bought cable channel. But then the WWE were like, yeah, we're going to release the network, though. And they were just going to make the network live. That's why we didn't get it in the UK for like a year.
Yeah, or something like that.
Maybe 18 months, because Sky kept on going... No, we've bought those shows. You can't do that. Quite rightly, from Sky's perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I'm no fan of Sky, but like they had signed this new deal with WWE like weeks before they announced the network. So it really felt like, hey, let's quickly get this deal signed because then we can announce the network and really screw over Sky because we've got their money now. We've got their money, but also we're going to get our own money over here.
That is so carny. And that's what worries me about WWE is that, sure, they're fine now. Sure, they're fine in 2019. But these deals, the decision to go 3 hours rather than two, you didn't have to take that deal. Sure, it was a lot of money.
So much more money.
But what's like, to me, I would rather have a large fan base and not chase off the audience with this extra hour of content that fatigues them every week.
Well, that's the key to it. Yeah, I think some people do forget that the third hour was not a WWE decision. It was a USA Network decision. They said, we want another hour of this show. WWE were hesitant to do it. Vince McMahon in particular was very hesitant to do it until they said, here's a big truckload of money for this third hour, and that's why they started to do it.
Mm.
And then it's become a standard. It's been a standard now for years and years and years.
Yeah, and I think that's the single biggest thing that's driven away viewers, just because it's too much of a commitment. That's an end game every week. And end game had to be very good for me to not get annoyed at how long it was. And WWE is nowhere close to being that good on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Sure, Firefly Funhouse is.
Yes.
Firefly Funhouse was better than all of the MCU combined.
You reckon? It was better than Doctor Strange.
I think that's a non-controversial statement.
But you were going to make a point about us being the second biggest pay-per-view.
So the UK really is an important market in terms of the wrestling industry as a whole. And especially for English language wrestling promotions, because Mexico has got tremendous business with AAA and CMLL. New Japan, likewise with New Japan.
Japan, likewise with New Japan.
Did I say New Japan twice?
You're tired
today.
Oh, actually, I shouldn't be too harsh, because we are very tired. Mm. I'm falling apart today.
And there's a lot of facts to keep track of. You've got is WWE's UK foothold weakening with Sky. I mean, I don't know what's going to go on there. It's very interesting. But now you've got ITV, which are the second biggest channel, really, sometimes joint biggest channel in the UK, making this deal with All Elite Wrestling, which was announced on Wednesday. They're going to air that on their pay-per-view service.
Yeah.
With the pre-show going on ITV4. And I was just like, we even said it when we heard about it. Huh, ITV4, that's their fourth biggest channel. Because, surprise, surprise, you've got ITV2.
Yep.
Then you've got ITV
B.
B. Not three, B.
Shows all their reality show nonsense.
It's B, B and E, not...
Yeah,
not
if you want to be... Like, if you want to watch The Only Way is Essex or... I don't know.
Celebrity Love Island.
There you go.
All those great shows.
All those great shows.
But ITV4 is like a male-skewed show where they just play sort of like UEFA...
Champions League.
Maybe not Champions League, the one, but the Europa League, have. And just action movies and car shows.
Yeah.
And blokey bloke stuff. And now they're going to have the pre-show to Double or Nothing, which is in three Saturdays' time, so 2 weeks from now. I'm so excited about.
It's crazy.
I keep reading that card, and it's too long. It's looking to be a 5-hour show with the pre-show. So that is a bad for me. But yeah, I'm bloody excited for it.
Very, very excited. But I suppose it's a case of the next couple of shows that they're doing, like Fighter Fest and the one in Jacksonville, Fight for the Fallen. Those are more like, those are house shows.
Mm.
So those are going to be for smaller audiences. They might not be broadcast on pay-per-view. They might just be, or might be broadcast somewhere else. And they will be shorter shows. So maybe it was just like this 5-hour thing is just for, because this is our big debut show. How long was All In? Is that 3 hours?
It was long. I think it was about 4 hours too.
Yeah, so maybe they're just going to save this for like your big, big shows, and then your smaller shows will just be what you'd expect for a standard pay-per-view length.
The Young Bucks will still probably have their time cut.
Oh, bless
Nice
them.
One, Marty. Maybe that's why he's still with the Ring of Honor. We hear ITV4, and I think both of us were like, ITV4, although it's huge news. But ITV4 is between the 12th and 18th most watched channels
in the UK.
In the UK. I didn't appreciate this. And it has a far, far larger viewership than Sky, which is where WWE is broadcast on.
Yeah, massive.
Because one is behind a paywall.
Yeah.
And I never, like, Sky profile-wise, I would argue, is Sky Sports, is a much bigger profile than ITV4, especially for live sports.
So here are some numbers. The highest rated shows on ITV4 will do around 400,000 viewers. Now, I suppose to an American audience, that might not sound like a huge deal. We're a smaller country.
We're a sixth of your size, population-wise.
So there's 400,000 viewers are the highest rated shows. WWE on Sky do well under 100,000. And usually well under 50,000.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that part of that is because it is from 1 to 4 in the morning, usually.
And the other one's behind a paywall.
Yeah, and it's 3 hours long.
And all the other stuff.
Yeah, but it'll be very interesting to see how this interpromotional war develops. And I always thought that the first fighting ground would be the US. But to me, it now feels like the first skirmish, as it were, is in the UK as this sort of valuable strategic ground.
And when you said that, all of a sudden I start to think of TNA in 2008, 2009, when that was broadcast on Freeview TV here in the UK. It was on Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And Impact became a much more profitable promotion in the UK than it was in the US, because it had actually an incredible viewership over here, because as a country, we were looking for an alternative to WWE at the time. And Impact, or TNA at the time, was that alternative. And that's why their house show business, when they do UK tours, were incredible. There was a point in time where Impact nearly moved to the UK and just set itself up as a UK-only promotion because it had such a strong fan base here. The problem was for Impact, Progress and Rev Pro and ICW and all these other promotions start to corrupt. Because we were sort of like
Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff.
Well, and like all these other UK promotions started to stand up and be like, oh, actually, yeah, we British wrestling's really good. Let's do loads of British wrestling stuff. And then Impact just lost all of its viewership because all of the Brits were like, I just got to watch Progress instead. I could just go down and watch Rev Pro.
Yeah. Well, it'd be very interesting to see what happens. And we are really, really close to the first proper opening, AEW's proper debut on pay-per-view.
And next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern is when the upfront starts. So next Wednesday is going to be a very, very interesting day for the wrestling world in 2019.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're wondering to yourself, what the heck is a crap gimmick? Well, that's a segment we do here each and every Saturday on the Wrestle Ramble, where you, the Swerve Nation, send to us your crap gimmicks, and then we, the bookers, nay promoters of crap gimmick wrestling, review them and decide whether we want to sign them to our crappy little show. If you want to send them in, all you've got to do is go to send them to Luke@WrestleTalk.com. That's Luke@WrestleTalk.com. We've got a huge backlog dating all the way back to August last year, so we pick the earliest ones that we've got, which is in that August bracket, and then we pick them at random. We'll do three a week. So Send them in. This is how we go. Florian sent this in on August 18th, 2018. And he has suggested The Angry Comic Book Kid. He is small and not very well in shape. He wears a full bodysuit, like Goldust, and has different hero faces painted on it. He also wears a cape and... He, of course, also wears a matching cape. His opponents abuse this fact by tying it to the ring post, stepping on it while he runs into the ropes, such and stuff. You know, no capes.
Mm.
Edna was very clear on this. No capes.
Yeah, I always get, like, the Mysterio in the Spider-Man trailers. It's a very in-your-face cape that's flattening around there.
Yeah, it's all an illusion. It's an illusional cape.
I guess Thor has a cape. I'm trying to think of Marvel characters that
have a cape. Yeah, Thor has a cape, yeah.
But not all the time. I feel like that's the first thing to get dropped in fight mode. Yeah.
And really, that's just to look impressive while he's flying.
Yeah. Huh. Mm. Marvel, in my head, is quite a capeless faction.
No capes. His trademark maneuver are the Hulk Smash, a Superman punch that every opponent no-sells, and Rage Mode, where he starts to pump himself up and the audience gets the feeling he might actually win the match, but in the end, it's never enough to win. His finisher is the Marvel and DC crossover, a splash from the top rope. His promos are about the Great Responsibility and the Big Bad, where he talks about taking down every villain on the roster. Every week, he challenges another heel to a match, but sadly, he loses every single match. After losing every match for about a year, he holds a promo saying that he can't beat the villains, so he has to join them, and now calls himself the supervillain and starts winning matches in the usual chicken S-word heel kind of way. Low blows, pepper spray, etc. He also gets some new sidekicks. Three big guys called Minion 1, Minion 2, and Minion 3 that do all the dirty work for him. Because he's winning so much, he gets booked in the star match, then he starts to do some fancy booking there.
Yeah.
That's down to us, though. You're doing our job for us.
Yeah, yeah. We're creative here. You just come to us with your gimmicks.
Yeah.
I feel like... You see, the Angry Comic Book Kid and the idea of a kid dressing up as a different... First of all, I don't really like the... I've gone off the gimmicks where it's, hey, this is my gimmick. I have loads of different gimmicks. Mm-hmm. I don't usually think that works. I know we signed one like that last week, but I would argue that was more of a faction of people to build a coherent whole. This is like, my initial premise isn't strong enough, so I have to, you know, split it off into different bits. And also, I don't get... The idea of a Marvel and DC crossover, why would that be a splash from the top rope?
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that one either.
Yeah, so maybe I'm missing something there. Plus, turning heel as a supervillain is cute, but this is crap gimmick wrestling. If you want to be a crap wrestler for most of the time, this is how I see it going. Maybe drop the whole angry comic book kid and just call him Comic Book Kid. Mm. He is a super baby face, and he's really plucky. He loves all his superheroes, and he tries to channel those superheroes' power. But ultimately, he's not physically strong enough to win. And maybe there's a big, big bully guy. Call him... Smash Man.
Smash Flompson.
Smash Flompson, who's always dicking on him. And then one time they're in the ring, Smash Flompson's beating up Comic Book Kid. Comic Book Kid is like, you know, babyface in peril. Everyone's just willing him to get to his feet. And he powers up and he punches Smash Flompson. And it's actually a Superman punch.
It's like the George McFly moment in Back to the Future.
And he is a superhero. Yeah. He actually is a superhero all along. And we're fools for thinking he wasn't.
Yeah.
And that's your lovely moment. Unfortunately, I don't know where you go from there. So he'd have to go to another planet.
I have to go now. My planet needs me.
I've been drafted to the Guardians.
Robin Crenshaw on October 3rd wrote, "Hi all, love the show, etc. I've got a crap gimmick suggestion and I think pretty much writes itself. Let me present to you the osteopath, a wrestler who also happens to be a doctor specializing in the treatment of muscles and bones. He comes down to the ring to Bad Medicine by Bon Jovi, wearing traditional doctor garb, white coat, etc." I love that, wearing typical blank garb. That's one of my favorite things in crap gimmick emails.
It writes itself,
it
Luke.
Writes itself.
Why bother?
No need for a stethoscope or anything. This guy is strictly about the muscles. He himself is extremely muscular and chiseled, and his promos would point to each of his muscles and joints and laboriously describes the purpose of them, preaching the importance of caring for your joints and taking supplements, cod liver oil, etc. Naturally a heel, he would have a strong submission move and concentrate on joint manipulation, claiming that he has all the benefit of his opponents and would be writhing around in agony. Other moves that the osteopath would pull out includes the muscle buster, backstabber, and backbreaker. Hope you like my submission. Pun 100% intended.
I like this. Bad Medicine, Dr. Garb. I don't know. Osteopaths are quite different in my mind. They're not like they don't give you medicine usually. They give you posturally corrective exercises.
Mm.
That's why I think if he does have a finisher, it should be called the PA, the posture adjustment.
Oh, right.
And maybe, yeah, if you, a lot of back cracks.
Yeah.
You know, drop in the, yeah, back, sorry, back breakers, torture rack.
Oh,
you know, all
I love
those,
yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Those styles of move.
And while he's doing it, screaming, I'm trying to help.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is for your own good.
And lastly, Zachary Linder sent in on April 5th. I had the idea of submitting a wrestler like this a while ago, but didn't. So I'm just going to throw this into the ether and see what happens. General Eric Guy is a young wrestler. We are tired today.
I'm being catty.
This is like the Saturday shows of old. Remember when we used to record them the very last thing on a Friday and we just completely given up on the week?
Well, sometimes that's fun. It's there, just feel a bit genuinely tired.
In my defense, I did try and perk Ollie up by giving him a gummy bear before he came in.
It was a vegan gummy bear. It was a lie.
General Eric Guy is a young wrestler with aspirations to be like the great wrestlers of yore. He wears black trunks and knee pads and often accessorizes them with his own merch or items the fans have given to him. Because he's always loved the way babyfaces were pandered to the crowd, he always gives his merch on the way to the ring, and sometimes fans then give him gifts that he wears during the matches. Okay. Despite his wild imaginations and dreams, Gen Eric Guy is not a very good wrestler, often acting in enhancement talents while being a crowd favorite whenever he gets featured. He can do the grabs, but Eric often has to depend upon his opponent to carry him through most matches. His finisher, when he is yet to pull it off, is a delayed vertical suplex he calls the suspension of disbelief. Should be noted, General Eric Guy is a blow-up sex doll with basic ring gear, short brown hair, that the bookers threw into the crowd to make it look on its way to the ring and almost won his first match, but endearing desires and raucous fans in attendance give him a sentience and will to completely changed here now.
That took a left turn.
Totally left turn. I'd have started with this. This was an improved version of my original idea.
What was the original idea?
Apparently, it was the child of Vince McMahon named Hugh. Hope you like it and hope it's proper crap. Cheers.
I mean, it is proper crap. I don't think it's our style of crap. So, yeah, it's just generic guy. Oh, but and you get quite a way through that. I was like, yeah, it's not bad. I think we've got quite a lot of wrestlers where the joke is they're just not that good. So we're kind of full there on the roster. But then to then swerve and say, oh, by the way, it's a sex doll and all of the stuff is just the crowd willing him to be real. I feel like that needs to be set up.
Yeah.
And you need to make us believe in that first.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not a swerve. That's just changing your mind.
Yeah. So I'm not really sold on any, unfortunately, this week.
No, I'm not feeling it. Sorry, guys. But if you want to send something into the mailbag, all you got to do is become one of our pledge hammers on Patreon and leave a comment in the community tab called Mailbag. Don't email them to me. I just will lose them. I'm not very good at this. I'm very bunged up at the moment. That's why I had to do a second take of this. Mm. I really feel it in my nose at the moment. So nice. I'm trying to read the best I can. Chris Jenkins, are you guys planning on bringing the result? Are you guys planning on bringing the WrestleTalk hammers to the Prince Charles Cinema, or have the hammers faded into obscurity with the Bludgeon Brothers being dissolved? We didn't actually get a chance. We had to carry all of our merch to the Prince Charles Cinema, so we actually couldn't carry the hammers as well. One of them is there. The other one's in the office, I think. Yeah, there it is. This is great audio content. So we had to carry lots of merch and magazines and stuff to sell, so we couldn't actually take them down. Razman's Reality asked, hi guys, I don't know how this would work with YouTube, perhaps patrons automatically becoming paid subscribers, but I was thinking that it would really beneficial if there was a way for patrons to be noticed better in the live streams and comments in general. It's not easy to support both there and in the super chat, just some food for thought.
Yeah, I wish there was, unfortunately. We do have a plugin where we can see who, like the people who have commented on the YouTube videos.
It says
who's a patron.
It says patrons.
Yeah, and we always try and reply to those when we do our, you know, when the videos first go live. But they haven't got that functionality for the live chat because it just goes, yeah, I just don't think they have it. So yeah, unfortunately, Can't do that, I'm afraid.
It's a question for YouTube more than us.
Yeah, plus the way to get, you know, the Patreon part of those super chats is this bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the Wrestle Ramble.
You have a note who this was written by, this next question.
Oh, it's same guy.
I love it.
I've grouped them in.
Nice, I like it. As again from Raz, says, hi guys, with the full knowledge that this is WWE and they won't care about making sense, with the wild card rule feeling like step one to the end of the brand extension, can you give us a quick fantasy booking on what you the next storyline-wise will make it feel like a big deal? With your screening of Ready to Rumble this week, I was wondering what your favourite wrestling movie is. Mine is Fighting With My Family.
Favorite wrestling movie? The Wrestler, I think, is tremendous.
It's just like an absolutely incredible film.
Yeah. But the
second is Walking Tall.
Just a broken down old piece of meat. But
you want Jake Saddle, lady?
And that was really my first introduction to indie wrestling.
Oh yeah,
when did that come out? 2008.
I think I just got out of university. So that makes sense. Yeah.
Like there was WWE, and I was watching TNA Hardcore at that time. But I didn't really. I'd heard that there was this thing called Ring of Honor. Because someone told me that's where CM Punk had come from. And I was like, sounds rubbish. But then, like, seeing the CZW stuff, and wasn't the final scene filmed in front of a Ring of Honor audience?
It is, yeah.
So that was actually, yeah.
Ernest the Cat Miller.
Yeah. But in terms of fantasy booking, just off the top of my head, I'm going to do it retroactively to make it better, which is where you keep the brands distinctively separate for a very long time. And then, because that's what I think the wild card rule is actually. You know, it needs a lot of work to say what the actual rules are, but it's actually quite a good idea if you're having falling ratings. But the reason it doesn't feel special or in any way impactful is because you've had 6 months of throwing stuff at the wall, and the brand split hasn't been in effect anyway.
No.
With Becky on both brands before Mania.
I just felt like even before Mania, people were just showing up on any brand that they wanted.
Yeah, and you just had the Superstar shake-up and the bar in the Raw main event after Mania. So it just, yeah, this doesn't. It just feels like this is how it was happening anyway.
Yeah.
As opposed to this exciting new change.
I completely agree. Lorenzo asks, can you guys tell me the entire story of what's going on with Lucha Underground? I feel like I watch all your news episodes, but I must have missed you talking about it when it first started going down. Can you direct me a video where you broke the story down?
You replied to this on the chat. I don't think we have actually. It's always in my notes of all the stories that are going on, but there's just Lucha Underground isn't a very watch show.
No. It's one of the reasons why there's not another season.
Yeah, even when it was at its most popular, well, we did cover it. It very much isn't now, and it's more just it is a rather fascinating story. To the best of my knowledge, most of the people who signed on for season one had 7-year deals.
Yeah,
and I think it was 7-year deals after the transmission. Most of the guys. That the sort of non-compete thing or their contracts still were in effect after the last TV episode had aired. Mm. So even though some of the guys would have filmed the season three was the last one, wasn't it? I think.
Season four.
Or was it season four? They would have filmed that in March, say. It's not like they can work 6 months after on TV. They can work 6 months after once those episodes have aired, which actually ended up being December.
The following year,
basically. Yeah, the following year. So... Yeah, it's been a really, really cynical situation. I think it's created a lot of bad PR for Lucha Underground.
Very much so.
They desperately need fan positivity around them.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone believes they're going to get another season.
Well, no. I mean, as I mentioned, we interviewed Johnny Impact for our podcast, and I asked him about the Lucha Underground situation. It essentially was like, can you sort of like... explain in layman's terms what is going on, and like I don't think he could either. Mm. Like, and he works there, or he worked for them. So it's a situation where there are some stars who are suing them to try and get out of their contracts. There are some who've got contracts that didn't really need to be getting out of. They can work wherever anyway. Lucha Underground had a deal with Impact, so I think Impact's guys have been okay. Willie Mack's now out of his contract, which means he was just able to sign with Impact rather than. Go through the court case and everything like that. So it is a really messy situation with Lucha Underground. But going to Johnny Impact, it's very unlikely that we're going to get another show of it. And he also asked, why do you guys pronounce Piper Niven and Walter's names with a V?
I love that question. Because it makes total sense, doesn't it? Well, Walter's easy because in Austrian, in Austria, you sort of pronounce W's as V's.
Yes.
Like Wim Wenders and Wagner.
When we were at Progress, before we went up to go to the meeting room where we're going to meet Walter, and the guy who said like, oh yeah, Walter will be up at 3. And
he said Walter.
He said, did he say Walter?
He said Walter. And I said, so you're calling him Walter? And he went, well, that's what he answers to. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I'm just not going to open my mouth then. Why would you chance it?
What did Chris Roberts call him?
I think he just went like this.
Yeah, you silly bastard.
But yeah, Piper Niven, this, I love this one, because Piper Niven, that's her name that she wrestles under in NXT UK.
Yes.
But she used to wrestle everywhere else. We know her as Viper. So we're not saying Viper Niven. We're saying Viper Piper Niven.
Yeah. They're different names. And she had to be called Piper Niven because of the Viper Randy Orton. Craig Roberts says, thank you for reading out my WrestleTalk Get Better email. Maybe just say that Manchester may not have been the capital of culture, but we did get the 2002 Commonwealth Games, I might add. Cheers for the support. And there's a lot of abandoned trolleys here in car parks. Can you see Road Dogg join his New Age Outlaw tag brother Billy Gunn in the AEW creative team?
I think that's a really interesting question, because Road Dogg has history of going to rival WWE promotions.
He does, yeah.
You know, he was in TNA in the early days. Wasn't it him, Jeff Jarrett, Jerry Jarrett, in a boat who came up with TNA?
Yeah, and they Road Dogg led the invasion when TNA invaded a WWE pay-per-view where they sort of went backstage and handed out cookies to Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
And then later on in their TNA career, him and Billy Gunn were the Voodoo Kin Mafia, VKM, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, which I actually would say is possibly the worst tag team name I've ever heard in my life, because it's got nothing to do with either guy.
Yeah.
And they would do these shoot interviews where they would call out Paul Levesque and they would call out Michael Hickenbottom to like a street fight in a car park, because they didn't like Triple H and Shawn Michaels at the time, because they were doing DX over in WWE.
I feel like
it's quite embarrassing, really.
That seems like they both seem like much more mature guys now, though. That seems very much
of
the noughties.
Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah, that seems very much noughties.
Guy just lost his job because Bret Hart said Vince McMahon.
Yeah, yeah.
And they went out there and just said Vince a lot.
And Road Dogg was really mature dealing with people on Twitter. I think they put that behind them. But it'll be interesting. Yeah. I've always liked Billy Gunn. I think he seems like a safe pair of hands.
Yeah.
And if they need someone to blame everything on, just get Road Dogg in as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Will Haight asks, do you think it's undervalues the WWE Universal titles at all? Because two of the last three title changes have been based on dick kicks behind the referee's back. Brian over AJ, Seth over Brock. Just wanted to see what you guys thought. Keep up the consistency. Thumbs up. Love you guys, except Randy.
No to Brian. I think that's a huge part of it, because he was a babyface who turned heel.
Yeah.
Perfect. And he did that because he thought he was justified, because he thought he was saving the planet. No problems. Massive problems with Seth.
Yeah.
You're a babyface. Don't sink to the guy's level. Win clean. Even if he's like, he jumped you at the start of the match and all this stuff. Just win clean.
My favourite moments, and I had many, from Ready to Rumble, when we had the Prince Charles, was, spoilers for the end of the movie, when the babyface Jimmy King low blows Diamond Dallas Page so that he can win. And you went, oh. Like, threw your hands up in the air. It's like, even in 2000, this was a problem.
That was facetious of me. That was a different time where everyone was allowed to punch people in the dick.
Yeah.
That was just like, that was like a hip toss back then.
Also, I think ball shots in that movie, if you took out all the ball shots, it would only be half an hour.
Mm. Well, the credits are just people getting hit in the dick.
Yeah. Andrew Bayliss says, hi guys, being a long time follower of the channel, I remember some time ago Ollie mentioned that he watches and or plays snooker. As a snooker fan myself, I thought I'd try and get into the old wrestling related question, and I finally think I have one. While watching the World Snooker Championships the last couple of weeks, I had a thought. At big snooker events, the live audience have the option of an earpiece to hear the commentary. My question is, would a similar scheme add anything to the experience of a wrestling show? Not necessarily WWE shows, as I don't see anyone choosing to hear Michael Cole's voice, but maybe good for the benefit of those who might not be familiar with the promotion.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea, this. I mean, snooker commentary is one of my favourite things in the world. Just as like, because it's just two old guys talking about angles. And they're just like, well, he could go here. And then one of them makes a little joke and they go, And it's so, you know, like some people like the sound of golf or cricket, just that.
Yeah. Oh, I love that sound.
Yeah. Like my my summer days were background snooker commentary. I just love it. But one of the reasons that works is because it's so quiet and it's not really a high octane game.
Yeah.
It's one shot. Walk around for 90 seconds. One shot. So there's a lot of space. And yeah, all the crowd really have earpieces in. I've never had the pleasure to go to the Crucible or anything, but that I would definitely have an earpiece in to listen along with the commentary. And you sometimes, like, they'll make a joke and you'll hear the audience go along with them. And I'm there at home going, but this is...
Angles.
So it would work for like a New Japan crowd who are traditionally very quiet. I like the idea of, because there's so much that you, from good commentary, that can add so much to the match. Well, I was, because when we went to Progress on Sunday, if they had someone telling me, the commentary going, oh, he's trying to maneuver around for this bit and getting this hold, that could be really dangerous, or picking up on stuff I can't necessarily see. I didn't see that Trent Seven had the ropes.
Yeah.
For the pin. That was a huge part of the finish. But the commentary would have pointed that out to me. I think so. I'm actually quite for that. I think it's a good idea. It doesn't get rid of the social aspect of watching wrestling because you can just go, hey, what did you say? A silent disco almost.
Yeah,
you just take it off and talk to people.
You just take it out and all go. I just think back to NXT UK where we didn't need earpieces because we could hear Mauro Ranallo doing the commentary from the other side of the Royal Albert Hall.
Brilliant. That was excellent. Yeah, the key to it is it has to be very good commentary.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, we usually hear it at Rev Pro as well because we usually stood right by Andy Quilden doing commentary. That guy who wants to support says, I've said before and I'll say it again that Vince's character isn't crazy. He's just a lazy, lazy plot device.
So that isn't a question, but I included it because that's a really good way of summing him up.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a plot device that with no explanation. I thought that really hit the nail on the head.
Nice. Good work.
Going back to the commentary for Rev Pro, I distinctly remember hearing Quilden's commentary talking about working a body part over and thinking in my drunken state, he is working over the body part. And that made me more invested in the match because now I was watching that story being told as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it does work. Yeah.
It does work. Rockstar Dougal says, question for Ollie. As a postman, I walk 10 miles a day and I would like to know how much of amount of walking is enough to be classified as an exercise. So if you're not a podcast listener, Ollie Davis is on a vendetta at the moment against people who walk and are claiming that is exercise or saying correctly that it's exercise. And he is on this sort of like, I don't know, mission. He's very much on this train that walking is just not exercise.
Okay, so I think, to re-clarify my position, anything that you do as part of your everyday life, walking to the station, doing a pull-up over a door, is an exercise.
Everyday life.
Yeah, so more the walking side. That is an exercise. I would struggle to say anything under an hour of continuous walking is an exercise.
Okay, there you go.
But 10 miles is a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're on your feet all day, if you're on your feet all day, like I'm sure if you put a pedometer on someone on a shop floor, maybe they walk about 6-7 miles and they're always on their feet. Now, is that exercise though?
Or just doing their job.
Or just doing their job.
But they're getting exercise doing their job.
I don't know.
I think exercise is walking.
I think exercise is like I ride my bike to work. I don't count that as exercise.
Well, I think that's good though. I think that's some good exercise for you.
But then I'm like, I won't go to the gym today because I've already done my exercise. When really, the gym exercise is like 10 times more effective than this little bike thing.
But at least you're doing something. Like I think that's your problem is that you have like you've put exercise as a word up on a pedestal that you've got to be like sweating profusely and you've got to go to the gym in order to do that. Whereas actually exercise can be done anywhere around the country, anywhere around like your day-to-day life.
I agree with you. My standards are higher for people's physical well-being. So yes, let's move on.
Dwayne says, happy Saturday, WrestleTalk, ScreenStalker, and Swaff Nation. Last week, I pitched the idea of Daniel Bryan making a return at Money in the Bank, but becoming more unhinged and delusional over losing the WWE Championship. Since he returned this week, I have a different fantasy booking for you guys. What if Bryan targeted the WWE Championship for another month, wrapping up his program with Kofi at Stomping Ground, since Bryan doesn't like the Saudi Arabia shows, letting Heavy Machinery get an extended program as the tag champs for a bit, only for Bryan and Rowan to target the tag belts because of what Heavy Machinery stands for. I could state a little more of the fantasy booking, but I don't want it to go too long because you guys have a show to do. Keep up the great work, Dwayne.
Yeah, well, this was obviously written prior to Tuesday night. Mm. But yeah, I really like what WWE have done.
Love it.
So I would say, yeah, I wouldn't want to maybe have the best I could see that wasn't the tag things now is maybe Brian Owens and Kofi, or maybe a New Day versus a Brian faction with Owens as part of the New Day.
Mm.
Yeah, so the only way it would have worked really if Owens didn't turn heel and you continued out and you believe that Owens is with Kofi more and more.
Yeah.
Did you see Owens' interview?
No.
And he said that, I think it was a mistake to turn me. I wouldn't
really?
Have done it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But then like there was a little bit at the end of the interview where he says, but now, you know, when I turned, I felt like it actually, I was wrong. It was the right moment. Like, you're just saying
that.
You know, you're a smart guy.
Luke on the Patreon says, I know Vince is a majority stockholder in WWE, but is there a way for the board to force him to give up creative control? I know they can't vote him out, but what if they threaten to get to load off their shares, which would drive the stock price down, costing Vince million? Now, it's highly unlikely, but a man can dream to a better WWE product, at least until AEW arrives.
Yeah, I don't know if that would work. And I don't think if they sell their stock, that and Vince calls the bluff, then they're just out.
Yeah.
And Vince would probably buy it back. Yeah, so I don't think that way would work. I'm trying to think of ways you can remove.
I was going to say, I think with him being the majority shareholder.
Unless he's like declared unfit.
Yeah.
Mentally unfit. I don't think you can remove him.
But, you know, then there's going to be cases of where he can just do tests to prove that he is mentally fit to still run the company and still do this sort of thing. Just because you don't like the booking doesn't mean that you can vote him out.
Unfortunately, we're stuck with it, Luke. But he does still have moments of genuine genius.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Kofi stuff is phenomenal at the moment, I think. Daniel Bryan and Rowan. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Robert Ray asked, I'm a new Patreon and will be listening to the classic pay-per-views while traveling to London for the Raw and SmackDown shows. It's going to take 9 hours to get there and at the same time getting back home. So it's a lot of podcast time. What is your favorite classic pay-per-view review you've done? So I know what to listen to first. That's a good question.
That is a good one for WrestleRamble Extra.
One of the favorites we've done. WrestleMania X7 was a fun one.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
Long one as well. Long show.
I really enjoyed Takeover Toronto.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Halloween Havoc 98.
That was...
And actually, do you know what? Another one of my favorites. Bad Blood 97. Because it is just a lot of bad wrestling. And then an amazing main event. And there's a lot
of... That main event is incredible.
So good.
Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. First ever Hell in a Cell.
But that undercard is absolute tosh.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Yeah. He's got another question here.
I liked Armageddon 2000 as well.
That was a fun one. Yeah, with the six-man Hell in a Cell. Mm. Like Hell in a Cell matches.
Yeah.
So we're going to be doing Takeover Chicago for our next Wrestle Ramble Extra, which we're very excited to do. Although, I am gutted it wasn't Slamboree 2000.
It's so much shorter. Two and a half hours.
Yeah.
Oh, treat.
My question is, this is again from Robert says, I know you said no for writing for WWE, but would you write for NXT or NXT UK? Since Vince has no control over it, you would have more freedom with what you are writing and not have it changed at the very last minute.
I never thought about that.
Mm.
But I did just for me, I mean, God, in 20 years time when I'm working for WWE, they'll play this clip. But I genuinely have no interest in working for anything to do with WWE. Not NXT, not NXT UK. I wouldn't like to be associated with that company.
Yeah.
Really. Working, but it just seems like everything is nasty backstage.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Also, like I've never written for a wrestling show, but I don't know how much fun I would find it.
Mm.
Like, I think I would find it fun in like in theory, it's like doing fantasy booking warfare can be fun, but also times we get to do fantasy booking warfare and I just don't want to do it. There's a reason why we've delayed this episode, the fantasy booking warfare. It's because it's a topic that I've got very little interest in. So if you're Henderson, you've got little interest in writing, I'm not sure if I've got the drive to write that sort of thing.
I think it would be fun though, especially the backstage producing parts would be the most fun, like doing a skit with these people or working with the wrestlers to come up with stuff that helps build their character.
That's the other thing. I don't think I'm creative enough to work for a wrestling promotion. I think they're way more creative than I could ever be. But yeah, working with wrestlers about storylines, maybe I'd be way more interested in that.
And with NXT, you've got such a fun group of toy, like a great toy box to play with. I know we don't look anti-establishment, but it would go against my morality to work for anything under the Saudi Arabia WWE banner.
This man is the last boss I'll ever have. Now there is a wild card rule. Do you think the Money in the Bank winner, instead of being stuck to one brand, can go for any belt no matter what brand they're on? I guess so.
Because
you could just win Money in the Bank if like Andrade could then go and win the Universal Championship.
Wow. Rollins versus Andrade.
Yeah. I guess he'd then become a Raw guy but could still go to SmackDown.
Anyone can go anywhere. Yeah.
Arbel Zafiri. Zafiri. So given the posts that have just been uncovered by Lars, how dead is his push? Apparently not, according to WrestleVotes. Word is that WWE are just hoping that it dies down quickly and everyone forgets about it.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier. Like that, those posts have come up quite a few times. I think I've at least seen them twice.
I think it's the second or third time that they've come up. Since November, October last year.
Yeah. I think there was a story about them even before then, back when Lars got his Aleister Black match.
Yeah.
So they come up intermittently, and it's awful stuff he said, but like, it's the same as the James Gunn thing. Like, just me personally, I'm three different people from 10 years ago. Like the amount, and all of us have changed so much physically. You're a completely different person every 7 years. Every cell in your body has regenerated. There is no physical shred of you that's the same after a 7-year period. So you're at least 1.5 different people. Mm-hmm. And I bet Lars's turnover's a lot faster. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and he put out an apology on Thursday that seems genuine.
Yeah, to Wrestling Inc.
He's already apologised for these posts before as well. And it's just like, yeah, I believe people can change.
Yeah,
and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he has, and I hope he has.
Yeah, I hope he has as well. I hope it's not just a empty apology. I hope it's something that he does genuinely feel sorry for. And it is an actual apology, not the Hogan, sorry I got caught, brother, apology. This was a genuine, I'm a different person now. I'm a completely different person than I was in 2008. I was an idiot back then. I mean, some might say I'm an idiot now, but I think I'm less of an idiot than I was then. Yeah. I was a total tick then.
I was at uni. I was in the second year of uni.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything.
Yeah, I didn't know diddly squat. Noah Trumbly says, with the reports that WWE ratings are slowly declining week by week, along with loads of WWE talent wanting to leave, and the news that AEW are closer to getting a TV deal done, do you think that with these circumstances, AEW could possibly compete with WWE from their very first TV episode?
That's exactly what we talked about earlier. I think it's definitely possible. TBS, Turner, all these stations that AEW seem destined to go to, Are they nationally available? Are they cable?
I'm Googling live on air.
I don't really know how US television works, I'm afraid, sometimes. But if AEW...
So as of February 2015, TNT was available in about 95.3 million households. That's 81.9% of households with at least one television set in the US.
And what about USA Network, where Raw is on? So it's
95.3...
Against
116 million.
Okay, so USA Network's a bigger network. I don't know what they'd be looking for, but I think 1 million viewers for episode one would be a success.
Yeah, that's what Impact were drawing when they were on Spike, and that was seen as a great success for them.
That's just off the top of my head, but if Raw's getting 1.75 million by then, yeah, you're right. There's not much distance to make up there.
Yeah, I was just trying to see if there's a way to find out what the sort of average TV viewership is for TNT, but I can't find anything off the bat. But yeah, maybe if people can let us know in the comments, that'd be really, really helpful. Let's have another question. This one comes in from Owen. With Vince hating factions and the brand split on life support, which angle would you have Survivor Series take? NXT versus main roster, Vince versus Triple H?
For this year, I think it's got to be SmackDown versus Raw, really.
Yeah, because they are still separate brands.
Yeah, yeah. With SmackDown moving to Fox, I think that'd be a good way to kick off this.
And I'm gonna put this out again. I feel like I say this every single time. I don't think you'll enjoy NXT versus WWE as much as you think you would. I think people think it'll be a really good thing. I don't think you'll enjoy it because there will be a match decision where one of the WWE main roster guys wins and you won't like it.
And let's be honest, overall,
the main roster's going to win. Like, WWE will just win. Like, it always has to.
It'll be Raw versus SmackDown in 2018.
Yeah. Nicholas Andrews says, I'm currently rewatching the 2005 period of WWE. You poor bastard. And just got to when the BWO returned just before ECW One Night Stand. My question is, what's your favorite joke faction of all time? I would have to be the Mexicals, as every time I think of the lawnmower, I can't not think of the great entrance of riding down the ramp on their ride on lawnmowers. Favorite comedy group?
I mean, the Right to Censor counts.
Because they were heels,
yeah. But... yeah, my mind immediately
they
goes
were,
to...
And they were a parody of the Parents Television Council. See, I think I'd go with the Right to Censor. That's a great show. I didn't think of them.
I mean, where do you stop, though? Because Joke Faction, I guess Too Cool and Rikishi are a joke faction.
Mm.
And that they were so over.
Ludicrously over.
Like, they were more fun to... I get more fun watching them than... and Right to Censor. So, yeah, but they're quite closely linked, actually, in time.
I'm sure if you were to ask Wrestling Memes, he'll tell you it's 3MB is the correct answer. Or the Social Outcast, remember that little faction?
Yeah, League of Nations.
Oh, League of Dorks.
They were a joke.
And lastly, from Martin Harmon, at Progress Super Strong Style 16, there was lots of anti-WWE rhetoric. Trevor Lee healing it up as he signed to NXT. Jimmy Havoc taking a pop at Jim Smallman, saying that he won't book up-and-coming talent as they don't work for WWE. That was a joke, but still. And David Starr winning the whole thing and his independent message. It was the story of the weekend. What influence do you think WWE has on these promotions? And could it possibly be simply a talent-sharing arrangement and the owners just work for WWE? Can't imagine that WWE would want to put these shows on the network, and this storyline appears to be going forward for the next few months or so.
It is fascinating. Did you see the corporate announcement that multiple tiers are coming to the WWE network?
I feel like that's been coming for a long time. It's like, okay, so I was still decorating my house when they were doing... I was listening to the Observer Radio and then sort of like, yeah, tiered. Tiered stuff
this
coming.
Is like Michelle Wilson announcing it.
Yeah, but like George Barros has said it on Investicles and stuff like that. So I just feel like it's one of those things that apparently keeps getting said. I think it will happen. I don't know if it happens this year. But it feels... I'm at the point now with tiered pricing where I'm like, we've been talking about this for a long time now.
There was a story this week where Toni Storm was meant to face... Was it Bea Priestley? Sorry, yeah, Bea Priestley.
It was in my news today. Yeah. Or in my news yesterday.
And... So
Stardom had booked Bea Priestley versus Toni Storm for the World of Stardom Championship. But Bea Priestley is an AEW talent. Toni Storm's with NXT UK. And WWE said, no, not having the match because Toni Storm would have to lose. Bearing in mind, this is a company that has said in interviews, wins and losses don't matter in the modern day of wrestling. Mm. Apparently they do if the WWE person has to lose. Again, going back to that WWE NXT thing, wins and losses will matter on that day. So they had to cancel the match, and Stardom had to put out an apology saying we can't do this match for circumstances beyond our control, and they've had to change the lineup.
So if they can do that to a promotion where they don't have any like connections to, really, it's just their performers, some of their contracted talent are wrestling in them. And in Japan as well, like not even in the UK where they have more of a stronghold.
And someone who's not a main roster talent, it's Toni Storm.
Yeah. But Progress, you know, Jim Smallman and Glenn Joseph have been seen on NXT TV. They work there. So I don't think they're smart guys. They wouldn't book an anti-WWE storyline where David Starr, a very controversial, outspoken, independent wrestler, beats every single NXT UK guy through the tournament to win. And that's like, that's there as a story. They wouldn't... That was cleared by someone.
Yeah.
And, they wouldn't have just done that and chanced it.
Yeah.
WWE isn't that sort of place, it seems. So it's really interesting because David Starr is, like, read some of his promos. He's not pulling
or
punches.
Listen to the interview. there were two interviews yes. that are on the podcast that was released yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a lot of outspoken thoughts in that podcast.
Yeah, so maybe it is all a storyline.
Yeah.
It's a work, brother.
And on the Trevor Lee thing, I think they were just finding a way to get him heel heat. Where just being like, I'm from NXT, that means I'm better than everyone here. I think it was really effective heel heat stuff.
Love Trevor Lee. Love the idea of him pointing at his NXT badge because he was really cocky about it and he just kept on sipping on this bottle of water. But all the cheap heat in the world could not undo the fact that when his name was announced, he threw the bottle of water in the air that he was flippantly, that he'd been drinking from and sipping from through his entire entrance, that behind him, the water bottle flipped round and round and round and landed perfectly standing up in the ring. The crowd erupted.
He didn't even notice he'd done it.
And like, he was, from then I was like, he's a babyface. He's the biggest babyface. Thankfully, he lost in about 90 seconds. Yeah. Otherwise, the guy was over.
I was going to say, yeah, Ilya Dragunov just absolutely wiped him out. I think that was my... Jimmy Havoc, I think he was just... like, he was having a bit of a laugh. Jimmy's Jimmy, yeah.
I'm going to make you bleed, son.
Like, well, David Starr said that as well, that he was just having a laugh with Jim Smallman to, like, make sure that you call me the Independent when you're doing my introduction. Because it's very important that you make reference that I am not part of one of these companies.
Yeah.
And like David Starr's whole thing is just, it's not a case of, he says in the interviews that we did with him, I don't see this as us versus them being WWE. It's just us as independent wrestlers expecting more and demanding more and expecting more from the places that we work.
And yeah, power to him. I think he's done amazing work.
An interesting one feels. This comes in from Marcelino. Says, dear Luke, Ollie, Laurie, housemate Simon, and yep, that's all of you. I just want to say that the toilet water spout thing that you and Ollie were talking about actually works great. I grew up with one back in Egypt, and when I moved to Australia ages ago, we had to import one. It's much cleaner and healthier for you than toilet paper.
Right.
Also, wrestling is big in Egypt, mostly because they think it's real and don't play anything after 2006.
Nice.
Maybe
I wish we did that.
They got to 2006, like, this is awful. We're just going to get rid. The entire country is abandoning this terrible, terrible product.
Yeah.
Could be. It says, anyway, enjoy your day. So there you go. More backup for you. They're getting a B-day.
The bidets.
The bidets. The bidets. So the alarm clock debate.
I'm curious about this because this is different to the last Civil War drobe.
Yeah.
Because me and you were on opposing sides. But here, we're on the same side against what I suspect are our beloved viewership.
Well, we have got two emails on the subject thus far. This comes in from Andy, who says, "Effing love a snooze. No greater feeling waking up and realizing you have more time to sleep. I think it is actually a bad habit. Apparently it confuses the brain. That's probably an 80% fact. Much love, Mad Andy," or Andy Mad. And he sent a screenshot of his alarm clock setup.
Christ alive. 5:30, 6:30, 6:50, 7, 7:30, 8. Well done, Andy. You just had an hour and a half of inefficient sleep.
Yeah,
you could have learned a language in that time.
And this comes in from Luke, who says, "Hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, Pete, the housemate, and especially not Randy Datson, after he confirmed he supports Liverpool. I'm currently listening to the Tuesday podcast, and Ollie mentioned that his girlfriend sets multiple alarms because she likes to snooze. It made me so happy because I thought my girlfriend was the only one. It annoys me so much because on my days off, I have to wake up at the crack of dawn while she just snoozes. Keep up the great work. As you truly do make my day when the podcasts are uploaded. Your friend, Luke." It's an annoying sound, isn't it?
It's the worst.
Yeah.
I wish it was just me going, wake up now!
So, actually, the other day, I thought to myself, I need to have a little lie in here. Because usually I'm up at like 5:30, 6-ish. That's usually my sort of... I was like, I'm going to treat myself to a 6:30 wake up. And it's going to be great. I don't have to get up. I'm just going to get up at 6:30. I'm going to love it. My wife had set an alarm for 6 a.m., even though she didn't get out of bed until 7. So I was up at 6, regardless of the alarm. It didn't matter.
It's outrageous.
Out bloody outrageous.
I didn't have any melatonin last night. I wanted to do a test of magnesium spray on the soles of my feet.
And
I had another good night's sleep. So I'm thinking if I do both of them at the same time, whoa.
Well, like on a baby. On that subject, Jumping T Smark says, "Hi, Luke, Ollie, and the rest of the gang. I heard your conversation on the podcast intro talking about melatonin. Wanted to give my feedback. I'm on various medications for ADHD, depression, and anxiety, and I've been taking melatonin to help me sleep for about 2.5 years to counteract some of the effects of the stimulants I take in the morning. I can assure you that melatonin is 100% safe, and also that you can take up you can up the doses pretty much whenever you want. I take about 3 milligrams 90 minutes before I plan on going to sleep, but just try and see what works for you."
Yeah, that's always the key for this stuff, is rampant self-experimentation. I had someone else get in touch with me separately who said that, yeah, there's some with ADHD uses melatonin to sort of get off to bed. But he said there were side effects. I looked into the side effects. It's sort of the stuff that they seem to put on everything, just as...
Yeah,
just as that was a gross noise.
I didn't mean to do that into the microphone. I'm so sorry. I'm very bunged up at the moment. I feel like it's all going to fall out my nose at some point. We're going to have to bring this to a close soon.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. You could have talked over it.
He's doing so much cocaine, guys. It's outrageous.
All that Patreon money. I'm using the Patreon contract, the T's and C's. Yeah. This comes in from Matt Harmon. So Rusev Hay. We haven't had a Rusev Hay for a while, but I actually have got a few of them that I'd like to do. But I'm going to do this one from Martin because it's topical. He was part of our Patreon mailbag that we just had on this show. It says, "Hello, WrestleTalk, Screen Talker team, except Randy Datson. Did you guys enjoy Super Strong Style 16? I went on day 3 and it was a blast. Towards the end of the show, after the tag match, I quickly popped to the food area to grab some BBQ. I placed my order, and while they were dishing up, a man walked over in super casual clothes, the comfortable type that Luke would love, and a beanie. It was none other than Kyle O'Reilly.
Nice.
I went up and had the most awkward encounter of my life as I struggled to get my words out and I was a nervous wreck. I managed to ask for a quick picture as I didn't want to draw too much attention to him as he looked beat up and he wanted to eat. I thanked him after the picture and ran away, making my friend super jealous. He was really nice and polite. Such a legend. Picture it didn't happen. See the attach. I tried to contain my nerves excitement, but I failed. Thanks, Martin." There's a picture of him.
Carl looks like a genuinely nice... He looks like my mate Dan there.
Yeah. He does look tired in that photo, doesn't he? Poor old Kyle. Bless him.
3 days of big wrestling and traveling to the UK.
Yeah, but still, very, very cool. I don't think I told you. I saw Trevor Lee. I passed Trevor Lee when I was coming out of the toilet. And I was like, "Hey, Trevor Lee." He just walked straight past me.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what he's like as a person. But I hope that's just he's healing it up.
Yeah.
Because he was a heel.
Yeah, I'm hoping so as well.
He seems like he's quite an old school guy in that respect, I suspect.
Indeed. Right, let's have this as an 80% fact to end up this show. This comes in from Luke Chador. "Hello, Ollie. Hopefully the US doesn't go after you, Luke, and certainly not Candy Shatson. I've heard that if you tie a quarter to a string and then put it into a vending machine, you can pull the quarter and keep using it to pay without actually losing the money. It happens all the time in movies, so it must be true. Speaking of quarters, did you know that quarters are called quarters because they are one quarter of a one US dollar? I figured as much that's what it was.
Say what?
All the best, Bernard, a.k.a. Luke Chador." Yeah, you see that in films and comic and like cartoons and stuff, where you tie a bit of string to the quarter so you can like pull it back out of a vending machine.
Yeah, that's indisputable. That's the 100% fact. Okay. I thought the 80% fact was that four quarters make up one US dollar. I'm going to have to... I mean, email in, folks. What are your experiences of how to break down a one into four equal parts?
We don't have a 25p piece. We just have a 20 piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we've got a 5p.
Yeah. But we don't like put those together and then call it a quarter.
Sometimes.
Quarter of a pound.
Yeah.
Quarter pounder. This one comes in for Rich. This could be my last one because my nose is going to explode in a second. Says, "Hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, Pete, and I feel like I'm forgetting someone." Nope, that's everyone. "I just want to share an 80% fact. About 20 years ago, I went on a school trip to the Alps. On the first day, our ski instructor made sure we were all wearing hats. He told us that hats are important because 80% of your body heat is lost through your head.
Yeah.
I hated every minute of that skiing trip, but I never got cold. Thanks for all you do and keep up the consistency. It's from Rich.
Yeah, I've heard that. I don't know if it's true, but... You know, the brain's up there.
Yeah.
And a lot of the blood flow and stuff has to go up to the brain.
I've also been told that if you wear socks to bed, you are 33% likely to fall asleep quicker.
Whoa.
Because your feet, and this is 80% fact, my brother told me this like ages and ages, ages ago, years ago, like 10, 15 years ago. Your feet are the last part of your body to get to the right temperature before you fall asleep. And your body has to be at the same temperature in order to actually go into like REM sleep. So, and your feet are the last part of your body to get to that temperature.
I might try that. I always love a sleep hack. Someone told me, as well, I read it last week, and I can't get over it. Have you ever relaxed your eye sockets?
Can't say I have.
I didn't know you could do it. It's real. If you just like close your eyes, can you relax? Are you relaxing your eye sockets?
But what do you mean your eye sockets?
Exactly. It's just like, it's sort of the muscles around the eyes, and you just kind of.
I just feel like I'm raising my eyebrows.
Wait, I'm trying to.
I don't think I'm moving the muscles.
You know, it's like the most... Imagine your face when it's completely asleep, though.
Yeah.
So it just said, like, you know, when you sort of...
I feel like I was about to fall asleep at that point. Then, that,
because it's a Navy SEALs tactic to fall asleep really quickly, because you've got so little time to have your sleep. Mm. That you just do this quick 30-second scan of, I'm going to relax all the muscles in my feet, then in my lower legs, then in the top part. And you get up, and the last thing you do is your eye sockets, and apparently you're just like... Yeah. So there you go, folks. Maybe you don't need supplements.
I'm going to tell that to my wife, who was complaining last night because I'm all bunged up, that I was snoring like a champion, and she had to hit me to make me stop. And I said, did it work? She goes, on the third time it did. Hmm. That is all we've got time for on this show. We hope you enjoyed our progress interviews that we released this on Friday. And if you are part of our podcast feed, and this is not your first episode, the Prince Charles Cinema podcast that we recorded is going into the free feed next Friday, so get ready for that. But if you are one of our pledgehammers on Patreon, you'll already have it. And Patreon pledgehammers should get WrestleRamble Extra next Friday.
It's a big week next week as well, because it's Money in the Bank week.
That's right, which means predictions will be going up as well.
And Wrestle League. And the week after that, it's all Elite Wrestling's.
It's
Double or Nothing.
Double or Nothing. It's a big couple of weeks here. And then actually, the weekend after that's Wrestling Dontaku. It's Dominion.
And NXT TakeOver is after that.
Yeah, that's a big 4 weeks. Big 4 weeks. It's almost the perfect time to get involved with Wrestle League. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.